Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Cotton Walker. Hello, Cotton.
Good morning.
So Cotton is the Division III Circuit Court Judge, and we've asked him to come here. We're going to talk about the Cole County Treatment Court, just recently marked its 26th year of graduates. Let's talk a little bit about first, for those who may not be familiar with the Treatment Court. What is it? What's its purpose?
Yeah. So treatment courts started, and I don't want to go too long into the weeds here, but started in 1989 in Miami. And that was when some smart judges in Dade County in southern Florida kind of figured out that the old way of doing things, which was just lock them up for the penalty that the statutes allowed any offender who may have been involved with a drug offense, wasn't working to reduce crime or for public safety, because yes, they may have served their sentence, but then they were returning to the community. It just wasn't reducing crime and it wasn't public safety. And so, and of course, think of the era at that time, 1989, this is Miami Vice on TV, but because it was actually kind of happening in that era in that community. And they moved throughout the country and really throughout the world, because that was the first in the world. And in the mid 90s, Missouri had their first adult drug court. So that was, they used to be always called just drug courts. And sometimes they're referred to as specialty courts or other names. We call them generally as an umbrella now, treatment courts. And I'll get into why. In Missouri, they started in the mid 90s in Jackson County, Kansas City. And in 1999, we started one in Cole County. That's why we're entering our 26th year, as you mentioned. And we started with an adult drug court. We now have also a DWI court. We have a veterans court, and we have a co-occurring. So that's somebody with a substance use disorder and a mental health diagnosis. So co-occurring. And I don't have all those statistics, but not surprisingly, many people with one substance use disorder or mental health diagnosis actually do have both. So those who have come into contact with the criminal justice system, we're offering a different way, starting with these judges in Miami, Dade County, Florida, to address the root of what brought those people into the criminal justice system, to remove that as a reason for them to continue in the criminal justice system. And so what we do in each court, each circuit in Missouri can have their own qualifying criteria, but so it doesn't have to be I have possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine, cocaine, fentanyl, whatever, but the offense has to be reasonably related to that is a contributing factor to why they came into contact with criminal justice system. For example, it could be a felony burglary or trespass or something nonviolent, but where they have an addiction issue, they have a mental health diagnosis. And then what we try to do is if they are assessed and they qualify, then they come into the program. We have a team that I'll talk about in a minute, and we try to get to that root of the problem, the root of the why they came into contact with the criminal justice system, and remove that from the equation to hopefully have them be otherwise law-abiding citizens in the community. So in Cole County, we are a post-plea felony only treatment court. All of the people who are deemed eligible have been assessed as high risk and high need, or they don't come into the program. And high risk is high risk of reoffending if they don't have their needs addressed. And high need is they have the need for treatment. So high risk is, some people think of high risk as, well, they need supervision, probation and parole. High need is they need treatment, mental health or substance use disorder. And we apply then a interdisciplinary team. Our team includes a judge, the prosecutor, a defense attorney, and we've always had volunteer defense attorneys, treatment providers, probation officers, law enforcement officers, and then we have case managers, peer support, evaluators, and then a treatment court administrator. Okay. And we all serve our role to help that individual meet their needs and, sure, also comply with probation, which is an element of all of them in our circuit anyway, because we are a post plea felony only program.
So if I am a candidate for the treatment court, I will have to have pled guilty.
Correct.
To the charge. Correct. And then will be assigned to the treatment court.
Correct. And that's a good point, because not surprisingly, treatment works better for people who are volunteering for the program,
right?
Which means a judge does not, while it may be a condition of probation, therefore a part of a sentence, the judges don't sentence anyone who has not voluntarily wanted to be a part of the program and have that help.
I suppose the reasoning is they recognize they need help at that point.
Correct. Right?
So there has to be that willingness to submit to whatever needs to happen.
Correct. And so there's all sorts of motivations. And then in those cases, at some point, they and their attorney are communicating that with the prosecutor's office, and that's part of the negotiation process. We try to assess their eligibility as early as possible. In fact, in Cole County, we've even begun, necessity being the mother of invention, we've even started to involve our pretrial services program with that initial assessment. The necessity is because right now, as we're sitting recording this, we do not have an administrator, because our administrator did such a great job, Katie Doman, that I know you've met before, the state hired her away to do the job statewide. All she right. is overseeing treatment courts and pretrial service programs all over the state as of about 2.5 weeks ago.
Okay.
We've hired a new administrator, but he does not start until next week. So involving pretrial in that initial assessment allows the attorney to know this person does qualify, discuss it with them. Now, individually, since we are a post-plea felony program, and felony means that there is a chance of a prison sentence if you are convicted, either by trial or after a trial or by plea. So sometimes an initial motivator for people to say, sure, I'll try treatment court, is to avoid prison. Not just jail, not that most people would like to ever go to jail either, but it's prison time. And it's an extended, it's a literally, we call it a sentence of years, whether it's fully executed on immediately or not. But just thinking of human psychology, that is a motivator sometimes, but it's only a negative motivator. And I talk about this with new participants when they come into the program. I understand when you were sitting at the jail, or maybe you'd been out of the jail for 60 or 90 days as your process of your case was going through, and you're sitting down with your attorney and you're weighing all your options. And one of the motivators was, sure, I'll plead guilty. Yeah. I'll accept the term of probation with treatment court because I don't want to go to prison. Yeah. As a negative motivator, it has a lower ceiling than what we try to introduce them to, the change and the treatment that we're offering to them as a part of the program with this multidisciplinary team. And it takes a little while for many to make that adjustment, even if they volunteered, as you said at the beginning. That's a part of the process. And when folks first come in, some have already been introduced to treatment or recovery. Some have been introduced to recovery many years before. Mm-hmm. Some have had long periods of success in recovery, or maybe didn't have a significant criminal history. But when they do come into the treatment court for the first time, I talk about probation with treatment court as a condition is more than straight probation. I try to make sure they understand, though, it's more opportunity.
Yeah.
It is more supervision. It's more attention. You have more people in your life. It's more accountability. That's part of the right. judge role, is just that accountability factor. And I know you and I have talked about this before. I'm wearing my wristband again today. Have them just to show up, try and be honest, which are elements that we ask people to do from the start. That accountability is what the judge applies. And then the rest of it is the rest of the treatment team, their counselor, their probation officer, because they do have regular drug testing, as do regular probationers. We test more often randomly, but that's because we're trying to address that need.
Right.
And before we started talking through this a lot, you asked about the success, and both anecdotally, and I can talk about a few of those, but statistically, individuals are less likely to reoffend if they've gone through treatment court as a part of probation than just straight probation. To some degree, once you have been around it and understand the concept, that makes perfect sense. That doesn't mean it's easy for the individual or the court, because change is hard and recovery is hard. And many, not all, but many of our folks have low recovery capital. Again, before we kind of went on the air, we talked about Project Homeless Connect just celebrated their 10th year here in our community. And not surprisingly, as I was attending that a few weeks ago, there were lots of folks that I knew who were past even graduates of our program or current participants in our program, but they don't have family support. They may not have jobs. They don't have housing. They don't have benefits. Initiatives like that are important for us to help increase the recovery capital of the folks who come through the program too. And there are 133 programs in the 43 of the judicial circuits. I think these are stats from 2021. So we may have a couple of more programs. There have been almost 6,000 individuals. Oh, so it's from 2023. 6,000 individuals participated in treatment courts in Missouri in 2023. There have been 27,000 graduates from treatment court programs in Missouri since they started in the 90s. In Cole County, we now have a, if you will, daily average population of right at 100, which prior to COVID, we kind of maxed out around 65 because Judge Pat Joyce, of course, started the program and then I joined her and we double teamed it. And she actually still helps out in the program from time to time in her senior judge status. But we partly through the work of our team, our current team, and Katie Doman, our former administrator, we increased our capacity. So we now have graduations quarterly. We graduate anywhere from 5 to 15 every quarter. That means they've had no new laws violations, they've addressed their mental health issue or their substance use disorder, and they've shown long-term success and commitment to recovery. That doesn't mean they're not going to be in recovery for the rest of their life.
Right.
And doesn't mean they don't need our community support with initiatives like we've talked about. But it's a great success story. And as a judicial officer, because, you know, I've been at least a municipal judge or associate judge or circuit judge since 1994, but there's nothing better than seeing a graduate in the community working a job or just saying hi with their family, introducing me to their
thriving
children who are drug free and all those things. So anecdotally, those graduations, which we just had one in September, are the best moments.
So typically for a graduate, I mean, what kind of a time commitment are they talking about as far as length of being in the court?
Judges down in Miami, in Dade County, Florida, had this concept. So they started it and then they studied it. And like any good organization, they said what's working and what wasn't working. They've revamped it and studied it. And so we follow a model that is fairly standard nationwide and worldwide for that matter, because we have treatment courts in other countries now too. But our minimum time is 14 months. Now, probation on a felony is up to 5 years. Mm-hmm. So one of the advantages of treatment court is if you complete the program, you often get off probation early. You know, think old-fashioned good behavior. Yep. But for us, it's change and it's being a law-abiding citizen. So ours is 14 months and we separate it into five phases. And I'll kind of talk about the phases. And I know you and I personally have kind of talked about these before, Gary, but they each have meaning. That doesn't mean each individual naturally flows through these, if you will, stages of change. But in phase one, which is a minimum of 60 days, we just talk about acute stabilization. So get used to the program, be introduced to recovery and treatment, understand the goal of the program, help you find stable housing, whether that's actually Section 8 or a good family member or just something, because a lot of our participants don't have that when they come in.
Yeah.
You know, address those things. We do have principles of abstinence as a goal, but knowing addiction and knowing recovery is a lifelong challenge, it's a focus, but not a requirement to get out of phase one, because that's not how it works.
Well, it wouldn't be realistic.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then phase two through five, which are all 90 days each, so that's how you get to 14 months. Mm-hmm. Phase two is clinical stabilization. So acute stabilization is, let's get you off the steps of the courthouse where you've been sleeping and find you stabilization and introduce you to treatment and introduce you to the team. Two is clinical stabilization. You've now been introduced to your recovery team. Your counselor has assessed your needs by medical standards and addiction medicine standards. This is the course of treatment recommended and gets you to working on that. Phase three is pro-social habilitation. So, and as you go through the phases, your requirements from the court and probation start to taper off. You have court less often. You might be called for drug testing less often because you've shown periods of abstinence and not using. But, and then we introduce you to, so pro-social is starting to introduce you to other elements of change. And frankly, for many of our participants, that's the phase. So 5 months in that they've started to become clear-headed and they can see a different way, they can communicate a different way and start to set their own goals instead of, to some degree, any probation, treatment court or otherwise, is this is the line, follow the line. And in phase three, they can work on that their own and address financial issues and maintain housing and maybe work on employment if they didn't already have it. Although many of our people, the term functional alcoholic, many of our people work and work hard and keep a job, but they have the other issues. So phase four is adaptive habilitation. Now they're used to being substance free or medicated and in treatment for a mental health diagnosis, because program wide and as a principle of all treatment courts, we believe in medicated assisted treatment, whether it's to help an addiction or just a mental health issue. If a medical professional says this will help, you know, this individual, then we support it. We need to know what they've been prescribed so that we know when it shows up in a drug test, but otherwise. And then phase five is continuing care. And while we say that's also a 90 day and that leads to a graduation, really continuing care is then the rest of their life because that's how recovery works. And we try to keep them involved in our recovery community locally. We try to keep them involved as alumni, invite them back to graduations. At the graduation we had in September, a graduate who is now a peer support specialist out of the 13th Circuit, Boone Calloway, was our guest speaker. Mm-hmm. And we highlighted a number of graduates who came to support the program and support those who were graduating from the program in September. So those are our kind of our phases that we work through. And that's, you know, as recommended by All Rise, which used to be the National Association of Drug Court Professionals and the National Drug Court Institute, that these have been studied. And if you follow the best practices in those models, then it leads to more success for your participants individually and for your community.
Yeah. Well, it certainly seems it's a very intentional, empathetic approach to trying to deal with getting people to account for their crime that they've committed, as well as correct their life. What sort of recidivism have you seen? I mean, do you see folks regularly repeating? Because it's a lifelong sentence in some respects, right? They're going to be dealing with this their entire life.
Yeah. Our success rate has been great. We do see a few participants. We've even had graduates graduated from maybe adult drug court, really got a handle on your recovery from methamphetamine 8 years ago. But you also, when you were highly using methamphetamine, you got two DWIs 10 years later, you get a DWI. Mm. Well, on the one hand, that counts as a new offense for somebody, but we'll take them into the DWI court program at that point and work on alcohol, which is often the hardest nut to crack, if you will, because of it being legal acceptable. But so we have some of those folks, but other than that, thinking without having the exact statistics, it's very few who come through and graduate our program that then reoffend. And we have some who reoffend while in the program. Uh-huh. Sometimes it's very early on. We haven't even really engaged them in treatment. And because they're homeless, they're found, they're arrested, they have a substance on them. It's the same type of possession type offense. Again, not violent crimes and not typically a property crime or a victim type crime, but other than themselves. But statistically overall, again, those who complete probation with treatment court have much less reoffense rates than just regular probation. And there are some great programs, whether somebody that includes treatment and supervision and elements of change through probation and parole and even Department of Corrections, hopefully helps many not reoffend. We believe in this program, and you mentioned empathy. That is certainly something that is an element, and the judge, especially as a team member, has to kind of straddle that fence a lot because I mentioned the biggest role of the judge is also the accountability. And so there's lots of times when I'm talking with a participant about they missed a drug test or they didn't do what their treatment provider suggested and so they're not moving forward, I say all the time, I say, okay, I'm wearing the black robe today. This is part of my job. I'm going to respond to that. But we respond in as best we can in a trauma-informed way and an empathetic way. For example, with either homework or writing type, thoughtful writing projects, do community service. Sometimes we use incarceration as a sanction, but only brief periods. We're not going to execute on the sentence and terminate you from the program. Jail is only a little reminder, and otherwise it tends to hurt more than help.
Yeah.
And so as a judge, you do have to kind of walk that line, and you want to be supportive and empathetic. And I think if you have attended a graduation, you'll hear that from those who have successfully come through. If you came to a docket with a lot of phase one and phase two people, I'm not sure they would say that about me. That's a part of the program. And we have, I'm just going through my notes. We do lay out what the expectations and responsibilities is for each participant. We walk them through a participant handbook. One of the elements you mentioned, kind of giving back to the community or sort of paying back for their offense. Every one of our participants does a minimum of 100 hours of community service during that time they're in the program.
Yeah.
And while the minimum is 14 months, our average is closer to 2 years for graduates. We just had two of the graduates this time who were in the program 3.5, 4 years. Part of that time may have been long-term treatment. Part of that time, frankly, they may have moved away and even been on a warrant status for a while.
Sure.
But they came back without a new offense and we completed the program. But we lay out the expectations. And again, that's kind of part of the job of the judge is to make sure that they understand those expectations. But the beauty of our team is the community service part. All of our team participates in a lot of those programs. Project Homeless Connect, I know other team members have participated in that. Serve Jeff City and Mission JC, that our community does a great job of those projects in the spring. There's always a prosecutor, a defense attorney, a treatment provider, a probation officer, absolutely, who is there side by side, even a judge.
Yeah.
Picking up trash or cleaning up the creek or whatever we do. So that's part, I guess, of our empathy, but also just recognizing and letting them see that we're all part of the same community. So,
yeah. Well, knowing you, Cotton, I know that it's a heavy responsibility there. And it strikes me that it can get overwhelming, the volume of potential graduates. What's one or two stories you can share about what inspires you for the value of this program?
Yeah, I like that question, and I will give a couple of individuals as examples, but also just the concept of our community. What inspires me is, and I say this to participants, I say it to our team, for each individual member of the community, including those who have met me only as Judge Walker,
right?
If they're well, our community is well. If they're better, then our community is better. Absolutely a part of that is the black robe part of that. It's public safety. I did, in the last 10 days, sentence, after a contested sentencing hearing, sentence somebody to prison for 7 years with 5 or 6 witnesses who said he should get probation. I disagreed, and I sentenced him to 7 years to remove him from the community. Hopeful that he changes, and because he'll come back to the community.
You're
7 years is not a long time. I also sentenced somebody to 15 years in the last couple of weeks in incarceration because of the nature of the offense. Yet, even the person I sentenced to 15 years will have an opportunity to come back into the community. Now, it may not be Cole County, Missouri. Maybe they'll move somewhere else. I also don't want to hurt whatever community that may be in if they're not. So that's what inspires me, is to try to make each individual the best, because that, you know, rising tide raises all boats, right?
Right.
Maybe a bad analogy during hurricane week. But that inspires me. And then certainly individual stories, you know, well, one of them who I knew a little bit before he came into our treatment court program. It was a DWI program, but to get a DWI that qualifies for treatment court, meaning it has to be a felony, that means you've had at least 3 DWIs. And DWIs, the reason we have a DWI court specifically, are the most dangerous re-offenders out there because, again, alcohol being legal, socially acceptable, all that, but they got behind a wheel in front of a car, putting you in danger as well as others around them. As contrast to maybe a heavy drug user, they could create other dangers for others in the community, but they're mostly harming themselves.
Yes.
So he came into the program and immediately identified he wanted change, wasn't sure how he could identify that, but without even naming him, you probably knew who I'm talking about. Not only did he take off on that, he committed to fitness, he committed to others being well, he started a local road race.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.